Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mindy McFan.
And this is Back Talk. Cabrini, how have I heard that name before?
My only reference was the Cabrini Green, that awful, awful public housing project in Chicago. And I hate the fact that her name was on it.
Oh, okay.
So that's the only place I'd heard the name.
I thought that there were still, when I was growing up, there were still Cabrini hospitals.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
That I don't know. I only know the Cabrini Green.
Anyway, we have a film.
Yeah.
This is one of the first really good films of 24.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's called Cabrini.
Yeah, yeah.
After Mother Cabrini.
Given your background, did you know who she was?
I knew the other name.
Okay.
And I knew that it was Catholic.
Right.
And I may even have known that she was a saint.
Mm-hmm.
But the story that this biopic tells us, I did not know.
And which is that's the sin. That's the sin that nobody knew about this woman. I never heard of her. That's the sin there.
Well, she was so self-effacing and so just concerned with her mission to help kids.
She was a power.
And marketing was not in her wheelhouse. I knew that she was canonized. I think I knew that.
Right.
And she was, in fact, the first American saint, or at least the first female.
First American, yes.
Well, think about that.
It's,
Being canonized.
Yeah, so deserved.
What's the conflict here? Mindy, a really good film like this will have a conflict.
Well, the conflict is men not listening when they should. That's the conflict for me.
I knew you'd.
I mean, this woman had power, she had strength, she had motivation and a heart of gold, and she had to fight every single man that got in her way.
There were some toughies.
Yes.
I mean, what I like about this film, and Alejandro Monteverde was also the director of Sound of Freedom.
Okay.
That came out last year, independently produced, Christian idea.
Okay.
But a human trafficking in South America.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And big box office smash hit. And these are the same people, Angel Studios,
right,
produce a good film.
Yes. I would not call this a religious film.
No.
The fact that it's takes place in within the Catholic Church is an aside almost to me. Now, I'm not Catholic, but that's the way. If they don't talk about the religious aspect, they talk about the power struggle aspect.
I remember taking my son to that Sound of Freedom last summer, and he's from South America. He was moved by it to the extent that someday he wants to join the movement against human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the same thing that you're talking about. You expect to be beaten over the head, but you're not.
No.
They kind of just present it to you, and you can't help but be moved when you see these kids,
yes,
barely teens, being trafficked. And so then we take Cabrini, and you say, oh, I became now a supporter of Angel Studios.
Mm-hmm.
When I can see somebody who takes potentially a very heavy religious theme.
Yes.
And presents a film that's realistic.
Well, and it's about a woman.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it is about a woman.
Yeah.
That's what the movie's about.
Yes, it is. And she makes that point, doesn't she, in several places. I love that.
Yeah.
Right to their faces.
Yeah.
Is this because I'm a woman?
Yes.
And we're talking, 1889,
90? Yeah, the turn of the century, I'm guessing.
Turn of the century.
Yeah. And you forget that 5 minutes ago women were irrelevant.
Wow.
You just, it's easy to forget that how my grandmother lived.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I was just listening to something else about how during the Gilded Era, how women couldn't go out to eat alone.
Yeah.
Or not alone, with other women.
Yes, right.
Couldn't even go out to eat.
Yes.
My mother couldn't get a credit card. Yeah. I mean, these are very short time ago things.
Yeah, yeah.
But she just kept going.
What's also interesting is that this is in New York at that turn of that century.
And yeah, starts in Italy and then goes to New York.
Yeah, and so she's assigned by the Pope to the slums of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
She really wanted to do it somewhere in the East.
Right.
And he said, no, Giancarlo Giannini. Yeah. I don't know if you ever remember him as an actor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't he great as the Pope?
He was wonderful. He was wonderful.
So he sends her to New York City,
yeah.
And she goes obedient. That's one of the things that this was reminding me, how the church so demands obedience. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to say, well, don't listen to them. Well, she had to.
It was kind of pseudo obedience, if you ask me. But
oh, okay, from her.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, it was obedience, but she always had but.
This was both the Monsignor in mm-hmm. New York, mm-hmm. played very imperiously by David Morse.
Yeah, I thought he was great. because he starts out, you really want to punch him in the face, and you, his goodness comes through.
Yeah,
because you always have to remember. I mean, these men were growing up in a world that was socializing them to be who they were.
Yes,
and that was not to listen. You don't matter. I do is how they grew up.
Yes.
So you see him thankfully evolve into going back to, I hope, was his religious beliefs and supporting her.
Yeah, and he does it not reluctantly, but quietly, and he doesn't make a big deal out of it. But we do see him as a character change somewhat. But again, it's what I like the Angel Studios does.
Mm-hmm.
It's not full-blown.
Right.
It's just, as you, I think you were suggesting, a very slight change in him. Suddenly we begin to see behind him, because he starts out, and you're going to obey me.
Right.
Then we get to the mayor,
mm-hmm.
played by John Lithgow.
Mm-hmm.
How good is he?
He's wonderful at being evil.
he is.
But of the time.
Yeah.
Of the time.
And the argument is really interesting to me, too, as well, that they want New York City to have a highbrow feel to it.
They want to get rid of the immigrants. They're gross. And there is no subterfuge about it.
No.
We do not want these brown, gross little kids who are clean and beautifully dressed and polite and wonderful children.
Yes, in a way.
Because she has taken them in. We just don't want to see them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Did you notice that it really wasn't CGI driven?
Yes. I thought it had a very 1940s feel, movie-wise, and I don't say this in a pejorative way, in its simplicity.
Good. All right.
I mean, it was a simple movie. This was not a documentary where things were getting gritty.
Yes.
This was just a message about a woman's life.
Yes.
And I think the simplicity of it maybe is something we need nowadays, because we're not getting the complicated stuff.
Yeah.
We need to behave better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the way Monteverdi shows it is as a sense of realism in a minimalist way.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I was really struck by how authentic it felt. And yet at the same time, it was movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was very cinematic to me.
Right,
I mean, like when they go, she can't find the children. She's at Five Points in New York, which still terrifies me from that Martin Scorsese movie. And so they're in this horrible ghetto, immigrant ghetto, and she can't find the children for her orphanage. A prostitute shows them that they're living in the sewer. That was a cinematic version, I presume, of what living in a sewer looks like. I cannot, when they write the article, well, that the kids are lower than rats, basically, the way they're treated. But I can't grasp what it'd be like for a child to live in a sewer. I cannot grasp that.
Probably didn't have marketing on her mind, but I love the way they picked up on the phrase that even the rats have it better.
Yeah.
And then when she got the New York Times to buy into the story, I think maybe even the headline was even the rats have better.
Yeah, it was.
So she knew. But yes. They have one shot with the little mice and rats when they're coming into the place they're first going to live.
Right.
Whoa, ouch.
Yeah, I bet you there was a lot more rats running around there. I mean, can you imagine what Five Points was like back then?
Before.
There's a, the not ghetto museum, I can't remember, the museum, tenement museum in New York. The one thing that will always stick with me is these men came in when the first book came out about exposing all that. They came in to photograph the people living in the tenements, and they had flashes back then. They couldn't get them to light because there wasn't enough oxygen in the room. And I will never forget
great
that.
Great point. I'm thinking of the many fortunate ways I had you available to do Cabrini, and that's part of the reason we're one of the top 10 podcasts in National Public Radio is because
of my
ability to pick the right people for the right films. And you also have a New York connection.
Mm-hmm.
At least one son.
Two
of them now working in New York City.
Yep.
And you visit regularly.
I will be going there in 2 weeks.
Oh, how wonderful. So Cabrini as a biopic,
mm-hmm.
do you find anything where it could be criticized?
Only that, I don't even know if it's a criticism, it's just the kind of movie it is. It must have been horrifying.
Yes.
I mean, what she was up against, the Catholic Church.
Yes.
I mean, they have taken down plenty of people, well, you know.
You're so right.
But I think some people are born with a spirit, a backbone. They talked about her having TB in the movie, but evidently she got over the TB and ended up dying of malaria when she was 67.
Oh, and they leave that I didn't
out
know
of the
that.
They also left out of the movie that she had blonde hair and blue eyes. Which
Get
I thought,
out.
Yeah. She was Northern Italian. She had blonde hair and blue eyes, and I thought that was interesting that our brains can't wrap around an Italian woman looking like that.
I did see a photo of her, but it has her covered in her nun's habit.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to see the blonde hair.
Yeah, I it was her, I don't know, it was her visa I was reading, something like that.
Yeah.
But that, I thought that was interesting. But because I can see why they would leave that out, because it would have been a distraction.
Yes.
Where people had been asking that question as opposed to focusing on...
Yeah.
But I presume what she went through was about a billion times more difficult than the movie showed.
I can't even... And she's coughing in the movie.
Yes.
So you know that she's having problems.
Right.
And at one point, she does know that she has only a few years left.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem to bother her. It does, of course, bothers everybody. She says, yes, I am afraid.
Yeah, she proves them wrong, though. She lived to be 67. Oh, she just decided not to die, I think.
Well, we mentioned David Morse and John Lithgow and Giancarlo Giannini.
Mm-hmm.
So three males who have a very strong role here.
Yes.
And I am struck by the power that they had. They represented
Absolutely.
Archbishop and Mayor and the Pope.
Yeah.
And how she confronts them with, is this because I'm a woman?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was probably more than that, but surely that was a part of it, don't you think? That?
Well, I think part of the culture at the time is they are used to women acquiescing.
Yes.
They do what they're told.
Yes.
And you do what you're told because your safety is in danger. These people have control over your physical safety, your monetary safety, everything.
Yes.
And I'm not just talking about her. I'm talking about everybody.
Yes.
Is
yes.
under this power structure. So they're not used to somebody saying no to them.
Yes.
And she keeps saying no. And she doesn't do it by throwing a desk across the room. She does it just this iron will. Because she keeps, like when she's talking, she's always first confronted with the underling. And she insists on talking to the Pope.
Yes.
She insists on going to the next level.
Yes.
She insists on talking. She barges into the Italian Senate. She just keeps insisting. And it's a good example, I think, of a survival skill that women had to learn was to be, it's not manipulative, even though, because that has such a bad connotation. It's how to maneuver around things.
That is a good word, yes.
And she does that throughout the movie where you have to refine those kind of skills as a woman back then, because that was the only way you can get it. So she kept, you know, they would say, you can't do this. And she was like, well, I won't do that
right, yes.
specifically. But then she does something right next to it. Whereas, you know, the man is thinking, well, she won't do anything.
I think one of the things she had to get around was, I believe it was the Monsignor. I'm not sure who said that she could not approach whites.
She couldn't take money from anybody but Italians.
Right.
And she said, so you want me to feed poor Italian children by getting money from poor Italian people, basically is what she says.
Yes.
And he says yes, because he doesn't want her disturbing the 1% at that time, or whatever they were called.
You made a good point that because you do teach young people, that you thought that this, particularly for young women, would be a really good movie to see.
Yes.
And not because they were rabble-rousers, but simply they can see what you have been talking about, what women have faced in a relatively short time that we've been on this earth. They have been subjugated
mm-hmm.
by men. And in this case, when I grew up a Catholic, I would have never thought the Catholic Church could be like this, completely unchristian.
Right. Well, I always say good men do not understand sexism because they go, I would never do something like that.
Right.
So it doesn't occur to you
yes.
that most of you would. You know, that it's just, it's a confusing concept when you're not a bad person.
Oh, Mindy, you're too young to remember some of these, but I'm not too young to remember them. I'm looking at other saint movies.
Mm-hmm. Song of Bernadette on
there? Oh, how about the top of the list?
I loved that when I was a little girl. That was like a Sunday afternoon, you know, movie.
A 1943
uh-huh.
movie.
Things start happening to her, and the nuns are really mean to her because they think she thinks she's special.
Two with women as the heroes, And the first one is well-known, which would be really early in that century, would be Joan of Arc.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another with Ingrid Bergman.
I thought Joan of Arc was with Ingrid Bergman, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Joan of Arc, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're saying there are two of them. The first one
Oh, there's two Joan of Arcs.
Yes. Oh, the first one was back in the 20s or so. And unforgettable because, like the actress in our film, whose name is Christiana Del Anna,
mm-hmm.
who I thought was just spectacular.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly.
Mindy, though, her eyes.
Yeah, she just embodied it.
Oh.
And she said, I read an interview with her, and she said she left a piece of herself with that movie.
Wow. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
I was truly impressed with her. I always like it when it's almost underplayed.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no screaming and ranting.
Nope.
Monteverdi, the director, knows to hold that camera on her eyes.
Right.
This woman is a spectacular.
She was absolute pure, down to her bone determination.
Yes. And looking at the early Joan of Arcs, the two, the one with Bergman and the one with actress before her,
mm-hmm.
is again close-ups on their faces.
Right.
Because they're so expressive.
Right.
And that's what Monteverdi had done. There also was, strangely, in 1990, Mary Magdalene.
I'd never saw
with
that.
With Rooney Mara.
With Rooney Mara?
I know. Went
without
nowhere.
The tattoos?
but how about that?
Huh.
I mean, I never. Of course, we had Beckett.
Uh-huh.
This is male.
Right.
Now,
right.
That's 1964. Right. I was thinking of A Man for All Seasons, which came Paul Scofield.
Right.
As Sir Thomas More.
Right.
So
right.
We have saints who are men and easy to see.
Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of them.
there were plenty of them.
I wonder if that had anything to do with the people making the saints were men. Huh. I wonder if there's any connection there.
You know, Mindy, they do have a couple of shots in this film of the senators and the bishops together.
Right.
To see all those men. Isn't it like disgusting? Isn't it? I mean, it's not.
It's
20 years ago, I wouldn't have told you
time.
That.
It's a different time.
The way we depict it.
Yeah, we keep trying to get better.
I
That's
know.
What matters.
I know. And my reaction was so different from what I would have had 20 or 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have just accepted it, of course.
There's so many things.
Yeah.
So
the priest
things.
In our parish, we determine what happens. The nuns kind of help along.
Yeah.
You get a whole
helpers. We love being helpers.
And so in seeing them depict in truthful collection of the power brokers, they're all men.
Yes.
I love that part of this film of Cabrini because she is facing down men. Like you talk about superhero films.
Yes.
This is the real deal.
I agree.
Oh,
I agree wholeheartedly.
That pretty much is the saintly movies that I can think of. And the rest, you know, Mindy, we're trying to make superheroes out of females. And
right.
I don't think we're doing as well as we'd like.
Right.
Our superheroes, still Marvel types and all that,
sure,
are
sure.
still male, I
sure.
thought.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Greta Gerwig. How did that Barbie movie get made without her? That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Something. Talk about ignored.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's just
we're doing this a day before the Oscar ceremony.
Yeah.
And there have been people who've been ignored before. It's
yes,
not as if
it's true.
First...
It's very complicated. And to simplify it and just say she's getting screwed is just
right.
that to
would
me
be
is ridiculous.
Mother Cabrini standing and says, is this because I'm a woman?
Yeah. I don't know if that's
I know.
True.
I don't either.
But it's a very all kinds of isms are very complicated.
But keep it in mind that there are, I think, 8 nominations for Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if the movie itself has been ignored.
Correct.
And this is the complication you're talking about.
Yes.
Yes. This is. All right, Mindy McFan, I'm getting tired thinking about Mother Francesca Cabrini. And I'll start out before I ask you. I'll say that I think this is really one of the best movies in a long time. And I'm really tough on biopics because they tend to be untruthful. And they tend to be embellished.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to do what they want to do to exalt the
right.
subject of that.
Right.
And I didn't find that in this
no.
one.
Mm-mm.
And what's your feeling then for our audience about Cabrini?
This is an absolute go to the movie theater movie. I mean, women were clapping in the movie theater.
How were they?
They were yelling out, yeah! It's an empowering movie.
Yeah.
Go see it. In the theater.
Right, and we know one theater, actually for us locally, is Lenox showing
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know where else, and we would have thought Gateway, but I'm not sure.
There is another theater, but I don't know which
yeah,
one it is.
Right.
In
anyway,
town, I think.
So this is what we do in our own way, uh-huh. bringing the word.
Yeah,
you know, a little
sharing.
Bit of Cabrini in us, and Mindy is my Francesca Cabrini, and my I'm not even thinking of that when I ask Mindy to be my co-host on this one. But there's just an awful lot in this movie that I knew that you would identify with.
Certainly support.